and let them have dominion.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is advancement.
Because
of the
faith must be backed by
the assignment of this ministry is found from that verse.
You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogweli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavenlies.
The gospel itself has two major components. One is the gospel that saves. The other is the gospel that transforms. The gospel that saves, we call it the gospel of salvation. The other, we call it the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom. You combine them, you have the complete gospel. It's like a coin or like your money that has two sides. If somebody brings you money that has the print on one side and you turn to the other side, it's empty, you are not going to accept it because it's counterfeit. You have to have the complete deal. John chapter 1, verse 17. The law was given by Moses, but Jesus gave us two things, not one. Jesus gave us two things, not one. Because everywhere I go, especially, you know, here in Nigeria, and even across the world, everywhere now, what is dominating so much is the gospel of grace. There are people who are emphasizing that subject so much, and they are doing it to the exclusion of every other thing in the Bible. And they are doing it to the damnation of souls. The teachings of Paul, Peter the Apostle, who was a disciple and a student of Jesus, warned that when you overpush it beyond its boundary, Peter wrote this in the Bible, you do it to damnation of your own soul. When grace is not balanced by truth, and when the gospel of grace is not balanced by the gospel of the kingdom, even the people you are meant to save by it, you end up destroying them. The gospel of grace is also called the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is actually about his death and resurrection and the salvation that came to mankind as a result of that. It's very important because that is the gospel that saves people. I will find time to discuss it as we try to find solution to those problems. So Jesus gave us a great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person, every creature. And those that accept that message of redemption, they will be saved. They will be saved. But then in Matthew chapter 28 from verse 19, he said, go and make disciples of nations. So, thank God, we have in the Great Commission the mandate to go and win souls. And the tool you need when you go to do that is the gospel of salvation. You can also use the gospel of the kingdom, but somewhere along the line, you have to share the salvation message if you're going to lead the people to Christ. But here in Matthew chapter 28 verse 19, Jesus adds a very critical component to the Great Commission. He said, go and make disciples of nations. Here he's not talking about getting people saved. He's talking about discipling nations. Whole society can be discipled. A whole city can be discipled. A whole people group can be discipled. Nigeria is too small for God to change. God is talking about discipling the nations of the world. A whole continent can be discipled, and history bears us witness that it has happened before. It happened to Europe. It happened to America. Amazingly, it happened to Russia before. Apostle Andrew took this mandate to that place. The new Russia as causing problem for the world is the creation of Lenin. That's more than almost 2,000 years after Andrew's work was overthrown by communism. It's creation of Lenin and Stanley. The communist revolution took place in 1916-17. So you can see. But Andrew took the gospel. The gospel got to Russia before AD 80. 80 AD. The gospel got to Europe before AD 70. The America of today is the creation of the New Age movement. The Europe of today is the creation of the New Age. The work that was done there lasted for almost 2,000 years. Gave us the beautiful civilization that we see today. That's why you want to run away to that place. Anywhere you, any country where you see people wanting to run away from is a country where the gospel of the kingdom has not made impact. An example is Nigeria. But yet, the gospel of salvation has covered almost the whole part of Nigeria. It's very hard for you to meet a Nigerian who said he has not heard about Jesus. They even know about anointing, even unbelievers. They know about some of these things that we do in church. They've seen miracles. They are seeing it. And when they need it, they also go. They've seen. Why is Nigeria still in this state? There is the gospel that changes and transforms. The kingdom of God must come to any people group. And the kingdom of God has not come because the people receive Christ. The kingdom of God comes when the values and the laws of the kingdom is being lived out in the streets. The kingdom of God has come when the values and the laws of God's kingdom has been imbibed by those people. Whatever culture the people live out, the culture of the kingdom or the culture of the kingdom of darkness decides who rules that place. If they are still living the culture of the kingdom of darkness, Satan is ruling, even if they are professing Christianity. Go to Brazil. It's a Christian nation, they call it. Yet, crime rate. Of course, World Cup is coming to Brazil this year. You know, since January, young kids, 12 years, 13, 14, 15, are going for classes to learn how to speak English. And then they interview them in CNN. They say, why are you learning English? Because World Cup is coming. They say, because we're going to make money. They say, how are you going to make the money? He said, prostitution. He said, we have to service that number of people that will come. Prostitution is legal in the country. You go to the police, they give you license. You go to the street, you take your own corner. The only thing the police said is don't do it if you're under 18. But now, the other one said, we are not going to lose out to World Cup. All the people coming from everywhere, we have to be supplying them every night. There is a city in Nigeria that exports human resources to Europe. Even now, I learned that they have also added Russia to the... And they spell as export female folks. You export them to the white man to go and do prostitution. And then send money back home. And that city is where Papa Idahosa did his greatest work. Did crusades. Brought T.L. Osborne. Brought Ora Robot. Brought all the greats. And the city has been affected so much. Most of these families that are sending people abroad are Christian families. In quotes. But they are not Christian in values and in culture. I want you to see what is the problem with Africa and what is the problem with Nigeria. Our society needs authentic Christianity. The Bible said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to anyone that believes. The gospel has power to change society. It has power to change families, change culture, and change individuals. If what we are preaching is not changing anything, there is no salt in it. That's what Jesus is saying. The salt has lost its savor. Throw it away. It's useless. It's empty religion that is devoid of substance. I will look at the saving gospel later. I will find another time to look at it and let you see the elements in it that once you combine, salvation will be the result. Once you bring it, it's like when you bring certain chemicals together, a reaction will take place, a compound will come. I'll show you what it is so that you also assess what you've been preaching. Because you can have churches filled with unbelievers and yet they profess Christianity. And if you have read your Bible, you will know as well as I do that Jesus said it's not those who say, Lord, Lord. It's not those who profess. And he gave one thing as the basis on which he's going to accept or reject certain people on that day. He said they will finish telling me, Lord, Lord, plus all the signs that accompany it. He said, I'll tell them, depart from me, ye what? Workers of iniquity. At the final bottom line, values will decide your fate. Whether you enter or be thrown out. When we talk to unbelievers, sometimes we don't disturb them about that. We just tell them about receiving Christ. But it's like when you are advertising American citizenship. You can imagine if American government gives me the commission now to come and recruit 10,000 Nigerians. And I put the advert, automatic citizenship. That's the commission, the first commission Jesus gave us. That's the gospel of salvation. That one gives people citizenship of the kingdom. Without the salvation experience, except a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The immigration people will stop you. You can't. Now, if American government gives me that commission and I announce, put it on TV in Nigeria, this is where it's going to hold, this hall, and I announce that it's only for 10,000 people, how many Nigerians do you think will show up? Out of the 170 million, how many people do you think will show up there? You think Redemption Camp as a whole can take them? I'm sure if you have been listening to the news, you heard what happened with just selecting a few people into the immigration service. I think they needed about just 4,000 or what. Did you hear how many people, that stadiums in different places were filled? People who want to get job. That will tell you the level of the problem we have here. And people died because of it. Now, say American visa, not even citizenship, is free here. But I'm so grateful for what we had. But the truth right now is the greatest need of Nigeria cannot be found in the U.S. Some aspects can, like education, the standards, and but the greatest need of Nigeria is not in the U.S. It's not in the U.S. That was what America found that made America great. Right now, they've thrown it away. You can't find it now. It's values. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Because I'm talking about the gospel that transforms. So, it's called the dominion gospel. It's the gospel of the kingdom. So, here is where God revealed the three steps for human development. Let us make man in our image. He made the image, the development of the image of God, the foundation of any type of human development. Let them be in our likeness. So he made the development of the likeness of God the second phase of human development. And the final part is that those people will have dominion. That's what he was explaining to us. It's a three-step stuff. That is how you build society and change society. Foundation, the foundation for personal life, for institutions, for organizations, for nations, for society, is values and culture. The building is where divine likeness comes in. And that's where wise nations focus on education, on human capital development. And of course, the last is where the result of dominion is found. That's where you find wealth, power, influence, position, followership. All those things that Pastor Sunday was listing are not bad, except when you make them the end. They are the result of taking care of these first two. The image of God, the foundation of the divine nature. The second is the building of the divine functionality. What is it? He said, let's make man in our image. So all of us are supposed to be in that shape. What exactly is the image of God? And I also think I should, at this moment, make this clear. The goal of ministry, the goal you should have in your ministry, anyone that goes out to do ministry, is to produce men and women that carry God's image. Am I just saying that, or did the scripture say that? Romans chapter 8 verse 29. Those he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, so he might be the firstborn among many brethren. All churches, if we get just 10% of the churches in Nigeria to focus on this as their goal, we're going to produce a new nation. To get everybody to conform to the image of his son, so that you can imagine at the end of this camp meeting, we release you, about 6,000 of us here. You go out, there are 6,000 Jesus Christ, just that he exists in different types of vessel. Some white, some black, some Ghanaians, some Nigerians, some Europeans, some Canadians, but they carry the same values, the same DNA as Christ. The world will be turned upside down. So that he will be the firstborn among many brethren. Somebody asked me, why is it that they changed it from image of God to image of his son? Because Jesus is the express image of the Father. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen my Father. Philip was the one that asked him, show us the Father. And Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and you don't recognize me? He that has seen me have seen my Father. In another place he said, I and my Father, we are one. You are going to get to that point where you will talk like that. Everyone said, from now, when people see me, they will have seen Jesus. Jesus is the express image of the Father. You and I are supposed to be the express image of Christ. We are supposed to be the express image of our Father also. You don't call God Father and not bear his DNA. Jesus is the image of God. That is, God made visible so that people can see. Yesterday, I took one aspect of his image, and I talked about it, compassion. The other ones, all those things he lived is so that people will see what a person that knows God should look like. A person that calls himself God's offspring should look like. You see how the offsprings of the fallen angels were. They were very wicked, violent. They were bloodthirsty animals. They were eating human flesh. They were killing people everywhere. They were raping women. They introduce sleeping with animals, sleeping with your relatives, sleeping with your mother, sleeping with your cousins. They introduce incest. Now, Jesus, the seed of God, came to show us the alternative. This is how a person that is born of God looks. This is how his character is. He's a person of compassion. He's a man on mission. He's a person that does not just live for himself. He's a person that lives for his generation. He's a person that offers his life as a sacrifice and in service to others. Colossians chapter 1 verse 15. And then other scriptures that proves that Jesus, you see that if you take a few verses before, you see that he's talking about Jesus. And here he said he is the image. Right? Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creation. The creature he's talking about here is you and I, the new creation. Even though he's also firstborn over everything God created. He existed before Adam. Let me stop and make this point clear. Whenever Jesus said, I and my Father are one, if you see me, you have seen the Father. He's not saying he is God Almighty. I have been shown heaven. There is still that one seated on the throne. And Jesus himself worships in heaven. I think we're going to hear some things about heaven, whether it's tomorrow or what. You will see. Jesus himself worships. When he rose from the dead, he sent a message to his disciples. He said, behold, I go to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. He is the Son of God. In heaven, you still see him. And he's the one leading people around, showing people around things. But there is that one seated on the throne. But Jesus is the express image of what the Father looks like. We're not talking about physical look. The image of God is not his physical attributes or quality. The image of God is his moral nature. His nature, his character. Let's take one example. What does God look like? What is the image of God? 1 John chapter 4 verse 16. Look at one example. We have known and believed that God, the love that God has for us. Now look at that statement. God is love. Love is not a divine function for God. The likeness of God are divine functions or functionality. How God operates. The principles he uses to get his results. Love is not a divine function for God. Love is the nature of God. Love is who God is. And so when somebody claims to be a Christian and claims to be born of God, the first attribute he will possess is that he will be a man and a woman of love. He will be a person of compassion. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. If there is one test the Bible gave to help us know whether our salvation is genuine or not, it said it's the love test. It said, by this you shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. John now wrote, by this we shall know and assure our hearts if we love the brethren. So, the image of God, what is God like? The reason is very important is that if I'm praying, make me like you. You need to have an understanding of what you are going to be like. Then that prayer will help you get there. If you don't know what God is like, you will never arrive at that place. Let me make this point clear. You know, when you left your house, you started traveling. For example, some people left from different countries. Canada is almost like 2 days' journey. You take an airport. I have an idea of where Pastor Frank flew in with some of these men. They will get to another airport. And then they will take an aircraft. I don't know whether they came through US or Europe. Sometimes I go through Europe. Then you probably land in UK. You take another aircraft. You land in the international airport here in Lagos. But even in Lagos, there are so many places to go. In Nigeria, there are so many places to go. How did you start coming here? Because from the one, you knew where you were going. The goal of your Christian life is to be like Jesus. The goal of your Christian life is to be like your Father. If you see me, you have seen my Father. I and my Father, we are one. When you set that as your goal, and then the next question is, what does my Father look like? What is the nature of God? What is his image like? Because I need to be conformed to that image. You are not to be struggling, disturbing yourself on how to get a husband. Every man wants to marry a woman that is in the image of God. You know, if Jesus were to be a woman, he would have over 7 billion suitors. Your problem is not praying for husband. Your problem is that when men come around, what they see, they take off. Nobody wants to die. You have all those high heels, all the painted eye, but you are empty of values. It's an empty container. Your problem is not to be praying for a wife. All the ladies want to marry a Jesus kind of guy. Who doesn't want? If Jesus was for a grab, Mary Magdalene. It's true. Forget all those movies you are watching. The man was not married. Actually, once somebody was making all those fools about Da Vinci Code, Jesus and Mary. I said, I would have even loved it if he did. At least he will show me how to handle my wife. Because it's not a sin to marry. The man was married to a mission. His real wife is the ecclesia, the church. And he's a beautiful young woman. That's why today's church that is so ugly in character is not the wife Jesus died on the cross to get. That's why we're teaching you this. So you can become that bride. He's going to come back to rapture. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. God is love. So I say, Lord, is that all? If I walk on the value and virtue of love and master it, have I become fully like you? He said, no, you just took a component. You need to look at the complete thing. So I said, is there any place it's found? He said, it's all over the Bible. You have just been reading and not seeing. It's one of the major reasons for giving us the book. So I said, okay. He said, for example, there is a man in the Bible that asks me that he wants to see me. A human being wanted to see God. And he said to me, you told me that I have favor in your eyes. And the Lord has actually made those statements to this gentleman. His name is Moses. He has developed such a walk with God that God told him, you have great favor in my eyes. So Moses now took a giant step and said, if truly I have favor in your eyes, appear, I want to see you. And God said, Moses, you don't have an idea of what you are asking. The last guy that asked for what you asked, his name was Enoch. Didn't you hear that I took him over to heaven? No one can see me and live. Because your mortal flesh will not be able to endure the glory. We'll talk about that. God dwells in unapproachable light. It is so serious. If you read the book of Enoch, those angels like Michael and Gabriel, they were telling Enoch that they have been in heaven even before the earth was created, yet they have never seen the face of that man that sits on the throne. That the light that comes from him, he said even the cherubs that are around it, if you notice the two of their wings, they use it to cover their face. The thing will blind their eyes. Jesus himself is the only man that has seen him exactly as it is. He said, no one has seen God at any time. Is it John chapter 1 verse 18? He said, the only begotten Son who has been in the bosom of the Father is the only one that has the authority to reveal him. No man. You know, I quoted this scripture and somebody asked me, God appeared to Abraham, now he ate food with him. That's not the Almighty God. The person of the Trinity that appears to men is the second person. The one that has ability to take on flesh. His name is Jesus. Because many of you thought his day started the day his mother gave birth to him. No. Jesus was talking one day and he told the Jews. He said, Abraham, your father, rejoice to see my days. And the Jews took stone. He said, this young man is in his 30s. I think there is a demon in his head. And he has seen Abraham. Let's kill him. He's mad. The day the face of the Father will be unveiled is after the rapture. And he's unveiling it to the children, you and I. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? The Bible says, we shall see him as he is. And we shall be like him. The Bible said, then we shall know even as we are known. In those days, even spiritual gifts will disappear. Prophecy will give away. All these things will give away because we have come to the real stuff. Moses asked God, and God said, I will let you see me. What you're going to see is who I am like, my image, my similitude. You will see what makes up God. You just read that God is love. If you're possessed by love, you are possessed by God. The easiest way to get rid of every demon in your life is to become baptized in love. Demons can't live there. Love is an antidote to evil. It's an antidote to sin. If you know what the Bible calls love, it's not emotion. It's not lust. It's the antidote to evil. Love is the fulfillment of all the laws that God gave. No one who walks in love does evil. Moses said, okay, so the Lord said, I'm going to come down, but I will hide you first at the cliff of the rock. When I finish passing, then I'll let you see my similitude. You will understand my essence, what makes me up, who I am really in essence. And Exodus chapter 34, you can check it from verse 5. The Lord descended. He descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord from verse 6. Look at what he revealed to Moses. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed. Everybody get your paper. You're going to write what the image of God is. I've given you number one, love. So let's get a little more. He said, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful. Said number two, you have put love. Number two is mercy or compassion. These are the things you are going to start assessing your life by. These are the goals. You know, in a year, you are going to tell yourself, how many people am I going to show mercy this year? How many poor people am I going to remove from poverty? How many people that are struggling am I going to get out of that? How many people that have offended, you know, offended me, I'm going to forgive? All kinds of things, all kinds of acts of compassion and mercy. Who are the people around me that are down there I need to help up? This is the business of the Trinity and the children, the offsprings of the Trinity. That's us. That's what we do for a living. Changing people's lives. You start answering prayers that people are sending to your father. You say, Father, I'm here. Direct the prayer to me. The woman said, they can't pay rent. Don't worry about it. I'll go and take care of it. What are you a Christian for? We're going to have a revolution in Africa when we get people who are like this. Can you imagine if our presidents and our leaders are like that? What will happen to this continent? Number three, the Lord God gracious. Graciousness is large-heartedness, which expresses itself in generosity. A gracious person does not have a tight-fisted hand. A gracious person is generous. As ladies, how many of you want to marry a stingy man? How many of you like to marry a man that is generous? Do you see that what all of us are desiring in marriage are this image? You are looking for a person that has it. The truth is that when you truly find a person that has it, you don't care about height anymore. What is the use of all that macho if all he uses it is to beat you every day? What you say who you are looking for is the person that has so much. What is the use of all the money if he can't spend it on you? He can't spend it on the children. You see, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. The gospel of the kingdom, whether there are Muslims, there are Hindus, everybody hears that. Where we have persecution is from the gospel of salvation. When we start talking about Jesus, the cross. BBC did a documentary on what they call him, the madman of Libya, the dead Gaddafi. And his wives are talking now on camera because he's dead. So his security guards are talking. A lot of the people, they said he's wicked, that he's a demon. You need to watch it. Go to the internet and type in the palace of the mad king. You see the people that walk. They are, if you see what they are saying. When he wants girls, he sends his army into the school. They go and pick small girls, 14 years, 15 years. And he brings them, he rapes, he doesn't care. And some of them, after raping, they throw them out. The owner of one of the schools where he has collected so many girls, little girls, and messed up, was saying, I wish one of his daughters would come to this school so that we treat that girl like he treated many of the girls here. He said he's a beast. Muslims are cursing him and saying, let him roast in the lowest pit of hell. Muslims. That means a Muslim understands oppression and wickedness, and they are looking for love. It doesn't matter where people are. This is the message that changes nations. Okay, let's go back to the list. We are trying to know who our father is, what he looks like, so that we'll start conforming our lives. Okay? The Lord God merciful, the Lord God gracious. Then we come to the next one, number four, the Lord God long suffering. New Testament will translate it as patience or endurance. How many of you would like your husband to have patience for you? How many of you would like your pastor to have patience for you? How many of you would like even your parents, let them have a little patience for me? I will make them proud later. If you know the nonsense God takes from us, he would have killed everybody if he is not like this. That's why sometimes you see some sinners, some bad guys, you want them to die. But God is having long suffering, not willing that any should perish. As a father in the house of God, I have learned to truly grow sons in ministry, you need a lot of patience. I'm also finding out why many great men of God don't have sons. Small mistakes, that's where they give up. They will throw the guy out, finish you. These giants that you are seeing here, if you see the rigors, the headaches they give me. What I have learned is after a while, that one you thought was the troublesome son is now the pride of the family. It's an amazing thing. Do you know from raising these giants, I've learned a lot of secrets about raising my kids. Because I raised my spiritual sons before my natural ones. So I'm not confused at all. Just keep investing the right software inside them. And leave it and model it, let them see. He said, train up a child in the way he should go. What happens after? When he's grown, he will not depart from it. But in the journey, they might make some mistakes like we do. And God will have patience. If we have patience, you won't have divorce. You won't. A friend of mine says you need to start from patience, then grow that virtue to endurance, and then perfect it with what? Long suffering. That is to suffer and endure for a long time. As you look at the image of God, you will see where you are lagging behind. You see where, oh God. Now when I pray, Lord, change me, make me like, I know what the problems are. I know myself. I know where I'm struggling. So the Holy Spirit is able to walk on me, and I'm holding myself. I'm walking on myself. Because Paul said, I put my body under subjection. I pummel it. I discipline it. Lest after I've preached to others, I'll be disqualified. Because it's possible to be a preacher and a signboard pointing people into the kingdom, and you stay outside. You know, signboards don't enter the building. They stay outside. Don't be a signboard. Point people in by going in first. Long suffering. The fifth, or who knows the number, is goodness. Everyone say goodness. Say God is a good God. We serve a kind and a nice person. That's who my dad is. My heavenly father. That's who Jesus is. That's why I'm in love with him. That's why I can do anything for him. And this is goodness and his kindness. He has shown it to me so many times. He now demands that I be like that to people. We're talking about good governance. We need leaders that live kingdom values. And that is over. The prayer of the nation will be answered. And now, if you listen to Pastor Andre, there is no other institution on earth that has this treasure except the church. So you can see that we are not only failing God, we are failing the society and the nations where we exist. By what the biggest problem we are facing in Nigeria and in Africa and in the world now is the erosion of values. And there's only one institution that can answer and solve that problem. You know, I asked concerning our nation, do we import our leaders from Iraq or Afghanistan? Where do we get them? From the people. So you think our problem is leadership problem? You need to hear what the next generation are discussing in the streets. If they went into the streets, they were asking the young people, if you become president, senators, what you will do? They say, we will chop money. You know what that means? That their own corruption will be on another level. Because our musicians are writing songs for them. Chop my money, chop my... There are different music that are coming out, talking about dollar, money, who gives it, what? They are rapping it. They are shaking it. They are doing all the stuff. The Babylon system is advertising their own values. The youths are copying it. If the church does not seize the airspace and start teaching righteousness, what we are seeing now will be good days of Nigeria compared to the future. But God forbid. That's why you are saved. Exodus. Go back there. God is abundant in goodness. Then the next one is abundant in truth. Do you know the value the scripture is talking about there? Integrity. The God you and I serve is a God of integrity. The God of integrity. Now let me tell you, if you ask me one value that Nigeria needs more than any other one, I will pick love first, because I see the problems of division, tribalism, how we are killing each other, how we don't have value for human life. But then the next will be integrity. Can you imagine if our churches just focus on teaching this, producing it in practical sense in the lives of our people for one whole year? He said, let's even leave the other one. Let's just work on these two. That every Christian in this nation becomes a man and woman of integrity. They are honest. They are trustworthy. The kingdom of God will come to this land. It will be like going to heaven, living here. Remember that we have been blessed with all the other resources, like natural resources, human resources. All that. We are very intelligent people. What is destroying this place is that the values of the kingdom of darkness, Satan's values, is what is running the system. The culture is what needs to change. When foreigners do business with Nigeria, they will say, it's not in their culture. They won't steal your money. No, no, no. Those people, if you like, drop it in the street. They are not going to take it. They will take it to the police and find a way to get it back to you. Those people, it's one thing you know them for. They love themselves and they are people of integrity. You see where the issue is. This is where the tire meets the road. It's not talking Christianity, falling under the power, screaming and praying in tongues. This is what the issues are. And when it's time to enter heaven, this is what we decided. God is not going to admit any little demon because he speaks in tongues. Demons also speak in tongues. Don't you see some false prophets on TV doing abracadabra? Jesus did not say you know them by their tongues. He didn't say you know them by their miracles. He said you by their fruit, their character, you know who is genuine or not. A God of truth. That's why you can trust him. I trust him with my life. Verse 7. Keep him mercy for thousands. If you don't know what that particular value is, it's called loyalty or faithfulness. It's also called trustworthiness. Here is that God is a covenant-keeping God. And he doesn't just keep a covenant with the man he makes that agreement with. He will keep it for your children after you're up to 1,000 generations. When God enters your life, he's not going to stop with you. He's going to take care of your children after you. He's going to bless them because of you. That's what he's doing to the descendants of Abraham, the Jewish people. Some of them are not even living for God, but because of Abraham. It's the same thing with you. When a man truly serves God, the reward and the blessing does not end in his lifetime. Actually, the bigger reward I'm going to come after him in the life of his children. Some of the things I'm doing in the kingdom, my kids, my children's children, are the ones that will repeat. I was talking to pastors and ministers in a ministers' conference, and I was telling them, when you leave or you violate kingdom values, you also set a chain reaction into motion that will affect your children after you. There is a man in the Bible by the name of Gehazi, who tried to con some money. He was supposed to be a pastor in training, a prophet in training. He tried to con a man out of his money, Naaman, a leprous man that was just healed. And the pastor, the prophet, would not accept the money he gave him. So he felt that the man was, and he went behind, told lies. He thought his sin was personal. But everybody born in the family and lineage of Gehazi from that day became leprous. Leprosy entered the gene because of what a father did. Let me give you another example. You know, the sons of Eli, these were priests and they were sleeping with married women and stealing church funds, stealing money. When you steal God's money, go and make restitution. Don't just tell him, I'm sorry. Go and return it. You don't have it, go and save money and return it. The consequences are generational. I can give you 7 examples right here now. These priests, they wiped out the lineage of Eli because of this sin. And God laid a curse that everybody born from their lineage will be begging for bread. And that there will be nobody from that lineage that will stand in the priesthood again. Something happened many years, hundreds of years after David came into power. And he picked somebody that is a descendant of Levi and made him his priest that was helping him. And this guy helped David when David was nobody, struggling in the wilderness, fighting in the caves. Saul was pursuing him to kill. He helped David. He was carrying the airport, making inquiries for him. When things settled down, Solomon came to power. The first thing he did was to thrust Abiathar out of the priesthood. They almost executed himself. The scripture said that it might be fulfilled what the Lord spoke concerning the house of Eli. A curse was following the guy, even though he was in ministry, because his father that used to be in ministry ate church money. He has labored. It's time for him to be rewarded. Look at Judas, who did the same thing. He sold his mantle for 30 pieces of silver. He wiped his generation. If you read Psalm 109, they said everybody that comes from his lineage will be begging for bread, and they will be vagabonds. And God said their sin will never be forgiven. There are a lot of Gehazis with leprosy going around claiming to be men of God and prophets. I see them carrying leprosy, looking for who they will touch with it. Be careful. In these last days, be careful. Those of you who still run around signs and wonders, be careful with yourself. You might mess up your life. Signs and wonders are meant to follow us. Exodus. What is the image of our father? We are trying to know who, what he's like. He's a covenant-keeping God. The next thing is forgiving iniquity, forgiveness. That one took care of me many years ago when I found out that to be God's child, you can't be holding malice. You can't hold bitterness. You can't hold unforgiveness. That attitude is anti-Christian. To be like your father, you have to be a forgiving person. Now, I've also learned over the years that there are things you do. God will remove you from stewardship. He forgives you, but he's not going to give you that opportunity again. There are some things he finds genuine repentance. He restores the man. But there are some things you do. So because somebody was asking me, as a manager in the company, this my staff has consistently, you know, betrayed this organization. I said, sack him and forgive him as well. But add sack to it. You cannot be working and be betraying. Read your Bible, because that's why there is, after values, you have to meet another component called the wisdom of God, the divine likeness, the functionalities. When he gave some 10 talents, some 5 talents, some 2 talents, one misapplied, he took it away from him and gave to somebody that was bearing fruit. So you don't put somebody in business who constantly undermines your organization and he keep bringing the company down and you say, I have forgiven him. No, forgive him, but move him to another department where he can be useful. Remove him from that place before he damages that organization. What I'm just discussing now is called functionality. So there are some of your enemies, you forgive them, but it doesn't mean you now make him your gate man or your security man. Now give him the sword to kill you because you only read half-truth. But don't bear malice. Don't gossip about people. Don't go around backbiting people. You're not walking in love. Exodus. So keeping forgiveness. Then the next one, forgiving iniquity, transgression and sin. I don't have time to discuss those three. There are levels of offenses that people can commit. But anyway, for example, there is sin. There is transgression. But there is iniquity born. Iniquity. Like here in the country, you kidnap a human being. That is iniquity. It's a sin that does not last for one generation. It becomes a generational sin. You shed blood. That's iniquity born. You kill an innocent man. You are in your court. That's grandmaster of iniquity. And I tell you, you steal money that should be used to build hospitals, better the lives of people, and people are dying. That is extreme iniquity. And they catch the armed robbers, they shoot them. But these ones are more than armed robbers. I An armed robber robs with a gun or with any equipment, any of those weapons. Somebody's robbing with political power. Okay, I end with this. God also will by no means clear the guilty. That part is called justice. So you see, even though God is forgiving, God is also just. That's why there is hellfire. So those of you from the West, because there are preachers teaching now, God can't put people in hell. Read it. God himself is talking here. No prophet is talking for him here. He's using his own mouth to tell you. He said, I will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, to the third and fourth generation. And this is what the Bible said. I am the Lord God, I change it not. He said he's the same yesterday, today, and what? And for. God's program may change. Dispensation may change. Strategy may change. But God does not change. God's values are constant. God's nature is a constant. God's character is a constant. Realize it. The God we serve is a consuming fire. He's a God of justice. He judges sin. Because of his mercy, he will forgive if there is repentance. If a man turns away from it, he's going to get him out of it. If a man repents, he's going to forgive him. But if there is no repentance, he's going to visit with judgment. You know, I was teaching like this, and a gentleman said to me, hey, I was just falling in love with God until you mentioned justice. You just spoiled the whole thing for me. So I asked him, I said, think about the judges in your courts. In Nigeria, we have Supreme Court, Appeal Court, you know, High Courts. When you have a case with your neighbor, so that you don't take law into your hand, you go to the court to obtain justice. Okay, so somebody comes to your house, kills your mother, rapes your wife, rapes your young daughter before your eyes. They tied your hand behind. And after that, they escaped. But you saw their faces. And then you go to the court and ask the judge for justice. And then they bring the criminal to court, and the judge says, I'm a compassionate judge. I'm a merciful judge. You can go. How will you feel? You see, love without justice is nonsense. What Nigerians are crying for in many places is justice. So some are asking for social justice. Some are just justice. The key to national peace and tranquility is justice. Any king that learns that will bring a nation to a place of peace. You heard Pastor Sunday that the purpose of power is justice administration. The reason God picks some people and make them powerful, richer than others, is so that they can use their power to bring justice on the oppressor and deliver the oppressed and grant people justice, help people that are downtrodden. A lot of people are losing their rights. If you don't understand the importance of justice, you don't understand the importance of freedom. You know, when you walk around now, you're a free person, you travel to anywhere you like, until somebody that is more powerful than you captures you in the street and you are kidnapped. They take you to a forest, tie you there. They said, until you bring 100 million, you are not going. Your freedom is now for sale. They threaten you, they torture. If you talk to a person that has been kidnapped before, they know the importance of justice. They know the value of freedom. Now, let's talk about slavery. Somebody is going out. A group of people capture you, overpower you. The next thing, you find yourself sold. You are now a property owned by another human being. They flog you and beat you like animals. Force you to walk against your will and pass you through all kinds of torture. If you see the women that have been sold into slavery, they are also sex toys for their slave masters. They sleep with you when they like, kick you out when they like. They don't need to love you. They don't care about you. You will see the importance of justice and the importance of freedom. If God is not a just God, even heaven will not be a heaven. Because what it means is that he will admit Lucifer there, back, admit all the criminals there, admit all the whatever, and the moment they arrive, heaven becomes hell. So every decent society creates a prison where they put people that don't want to live decent life, civil life. They put them there, even though wise society turned that prison into a reformatory ground. What they do is that if they find out that the man has changed, his behaviors have changed, they watch him for years. They don't just assume, because he can be deceiving. Over time, then they reduce the sentence. And if he keeps improving, a time comes when he is reintroduced back to society. Because of justice, God created hell so that those who want to live righteous life can enjoy heaven. Because if you treat everybody equal, everybody becomes evil. If I kill somebody, I'll still go to heaven. I sleep with people's wives, I'll still go to heaven. Why will I be living holy? If I steal and make the money, just give church small, I'll still go to heaven. Why would I want to work hard? If you reward everybody equally, you discourage the good people. They join the wicked people. That's why when you want to initiate cultural change or revolution and restore back values, you have to reward the doers and punish the deviants. If corruption is not punished, it multiplies. If decent people in society are not honored, then the young people don't have role models. They follow the wand. If you pick corrupt people and start honoring them, giving them awards, you are telling the rest of the society to be corrupt. If God starts admitting sinners into heaven, who will not repent? Because what he does is that if a sinner repents, God has compassion, he has value for human life, he takes back he sees sinners like dead people. When they repent, he sees them like dead people that came back to life. He said, this my son was lost, but now he's found. He was dead, but now he's alive. Amen. Psalm 103. Let me read from verse 7. David was quoting Moses. He was listing the values, the nature of God. He said he learned it from Moses. Look at what he did. He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. And look at what he listed. Verse 8. The Lord, what is the number one? Merciful. Number two, gracious. Number three, slow to anger. You remember when Moses was writing it, he said, long suffering. David, mentioning the same value, said he's slow to anger. He said to me, don't try me on. I'm hot tempered. No, you need to change. You're supposed to be like Jesus. You need to change. I can't take that nonsense. I will destroy somebody here. That's the nature of the other man. You're not the children of the Nephilims or fallen angels or demons. You're a child of God. We are different. We're a chosen generation, a peculiar people, a called out people. Called for to show the presence of him that has called us out. He said Nigerians are angry people. Everywhere you see them in the street, they are shouting. We are kingdom people. We are different. I have God's DNA in me. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Moses is quoting, David is quoting Moses. And I noticed David became a man after God's heart by learning this secret from Moses. Moses was the friend of God. The Bible says God talked to Moses face to face as a man talked to his own friends. So the Lord spoke to me. He said, you want to be my friend? Because I prayed a lot about that. I want to be a person after your heart. I want to be like David. Please help me. He said, this is what you're going to learn.
The Lord is slow to anger. He is plenteous in mercy. Verse 9. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. You see, he doesn't keep malice. That's our God. Verse 10. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. If God rewards according to the thing, you know, nobody will stand. Nobody. None of us will be here. We'll be dead long ago. So a nation like U.S., he will have burnt your country 100 times like Sodom and Gomorrah. Nigeria, this place will be desert. He will have wiped the whole place out. Do you know when God was talking to Abraham about the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites? Abraham was living among them. He said, 400 years after you, I will bring the children of Israel to destroy them. Abraham said, why? He said, because the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet fulfilled. God had patience with this one country for over 400 years, and they did not change. Who knows how many years he waited for Sodom before he destroyed them? 400 years. As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. Verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I've learned a lot from all this. For example, in marriage, God tells me, this is what you do with your wife. Here you forgive, remove the thing as far as the east is from the west. No marriage will be successful without the practice of forgiveness. Verse 14, 13. Like a father pitied his children. You know, you can read the rest. Let me give you a list. I'm going to use Nigeria, Africa, 12 most important values, but I believe it applies to every country. You need to assess your own country. You need to assess your own self. And then as a pastor, you assess your church. Every problem you are having in that church are value problems. And find the weakest area and focus on teaching and modeling and helping the people till they become strong in it. It's an assessment you do in your own life. You find where you are weakest. And sometimes our assessments are not correct. So you talk to two other people. In prayer, you talk to the Lord, like David, search my heart, try my reign, show me areas of weaknesses in there, the wickedness areas in my life, so I can tackle it. Second person you talk to, the people that are close to you. An example is your spouse, your friends, your brethren that know you well. Ask them. I have a list on this paper, and you can also add your own list. Where do you think I need to work on my character? Where do you think? Because without a mirror, you don't see your face. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? So let me just give you a list. We are trying to find 12 most important kingdom values. If I throw it open here, there will be all kinds of suggestions. So I'll give you a guide on love. And from some of the lists I've been giving you, because in the Bible, I can give you lists and we keep going. But now you have an idea of what the image of God is. Start reading your Bible, looking for it. They're everywhere in that book. Let me give you an example of one place you can find it listed. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit. These are the fruit. He said, by their fruit, you know that. These are the fruit of people that are genuinely saved. People that are Christians, they bear this fruit. And you can see, he gave a long list there. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. I hope you know God is a gentle God. Goodness, faith. That faith there is not believing God for something. It's trustworthiness, faithfulness, meekness. Jesus said, learn of me. I am meek and lowly in the heart. And you will find rest for your soul. temperance, against such there is no law. Have you ever seen any government that made a law against love? Have you ever seen any constitution that is against patience? Have you ever seen any company that made a law against self-control? Have you ever seen any organization that created a law against integrity? All organizations are looking for it. All nations are looking for it. All leaders in authority are looking for it. That tells you, if you find it and imbibe it like Daniel, it will single you out and it will promote you. Skills are easier. Organizations can teach people those ones. But value is what is scarce. To find people you can trust. To find people of honor. That's what is scarce. To find women of virtues. Skill, people can. You can hire the person and train them, teaching how to use computer or all those other skills that are needed. But these ones, brothers and sisters, everyone lift up your hands. Say it with me. I make a commitment before God that I will become a person of values. I will become a person of integrity. I will become a person with moral excellence. Let me tell you the implication. If you do, in a few years, you will find out that you are the ones exercising dominion and influence in every sector. It singles people out. Among pastors, it differentiates pastors. It singles them out. Many years ago, Pastor Andre, I was asking the Lord, I said, in Nigeria, there are so many voices, people on TV. I don't want to be on TV. I don't want to join and just be saying things that are not helping our country. Lord, give me a mark that differentiates me. Give me a mark of differentiation. You said, this is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. You said that concerning Jesus. I need the same validation. And he said to me, what differentiates is righteousness. Pursue it with everything you have. It singles you out. Cultivate moral excellence, even in your organization, is going to single you out. When they're looking for somebody to trust, because your boss, sometimes they don't know. They don't know who is playing politics that wants to collect their position. They say, this is the only person I can trust here. He's not into politicking. He's not going to stab you at the back. It's not like that. Customers are looking for people like this and organizations like this. It's the greatest thing that man lost, the image of God. And once we lost it, our dominion mandate collapsed. You cannot rule without righteousness. There's another place you find a long list like this. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. There are a number of places in the Bible. I'm just giving you clues. 1 Corinthians 13 is describing love, and it describes 14 characteristics of love, and all of them are the characteristics of the divine nature, the nature of God. Do you know the first one? Love is patient. You see, love suffers what? You see the second one? Love is what? Kind. You see, they don't know what. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. You can't find love that is proud. Love operates in meekness. So, you will find kingdom values listed. There are a lot of other. It's all over your Bible. That is the one of the most, actually, the central thing which we are giving that book. And churches and pastors have left it. We are talking about all kinds of nonsense and junk. Some places they prophesy from morning till night, abusing spiritual gifts, lying with God's name when God has not said anything. And the people who leave, their character is not changing, their lives are getting worse. You are promising them vanity. Okay, let me give you a list. 12 most important kingdom values. But There are other ones, and you know, when you look at the list, you find that every one of them are important. But you assess yourself. Love. Mercy. Compassion. Honor. That's integrity. Generosity. Graciousness. Generosity. Another one is humility. Another one is purity. You know, chastity. Cleanliness is next to godliness. He applies spiritually as well as physically. Justice. Be an upright person. Patience. Endurance, whatever. Then there is loyalty, faithfulness, trustworthiness, dependability, loyalty. You can trust me. Some people call it trust. Respect, honor. I'm talking about the same thing. I think when you come to Nigeria, the Yoruba people have that one. When you also study your people group, you will see where they are highly deficient. All the people groups. Temperance, that's self-control. It's also translated as discipline, self-discipline. Forgiveness. The other ones, there's kindness. But the one I chose to make up the 12, because I have a long list here, I chose is peace. You saw where I read it in Galatians. I'm looking at Africa while I'm choosing this. Looking at my country and African nations. You know where Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I picked peace. You know, because that is reconciliation. One of the biggest problems like we are facing in Nigeria is national integration. Reconciliation. There's another question, even though I'm not going to discuss it much, but I'm going to give you a list so you'll be remembering it. What is the likeness of God? The likeness of God. Because he said the first level is values, the image of God. But what about his likeness? But when the Bible talks about the wisdom of God, he's talking about laws that are universal. And they are also self-evident. How you know God made them, he put them. And anytime these laws are broken, they create consequences. God doesn't even have to come and do it. That's why they call them principles. Some of them are spiritual principles. Some are moral principles. Some are natural principles like natural laws, like gravity. There are different sides to it. A person that learns and lives by principles is the person the Bible calls a wise man. The person that has values is the person the Bible said has the foundation for wisdom. Principles of the kingdom. There are many. They're everywhere. All these two elements is what fills your Bible. One of them is the principle of purpose. Why? Because God is a God of purpose. Everything he created for a reason. And there is no product that exists without a purpose. I have a watch. It exists to keep time. But the mic, the purpose of the mic is different. This one is to take my voice, transmit it to the amp, and then get it out to the people through the speakers. So the purpose of the mic, the purpose of the speaker, the purpose of the amp are interconnected. That is another functionality. called unity. There are people you must synergize with because purpose does not exist as an island. But if I try to make this mic have unity with this basket, it will not work. You are not meant to make everybody your friend or try to please everybody. But you have to find the strategic alliances. Because when God called you, he called somebody who you are going to walk along with. Let me say it this way. The angel that announced the birth of Jesus announced the birth of John because their purpose were interconnected. So you see Pastor Sunday in Ukraine. See me in Nigeria. I'm working. Look at our vision as this ministry. Raising leaders to transform society. And we had this vision for years. And I'm trying to find who will help me. How do we change Nigeria? To find out that there is a Nigerian in Ukraine, that this is what he lives and breathes. Because you go there, it's a trinity. It says, let us. And the Holy Ghost has skills that Jesus doesn't have. For example, Jesus can't live inside people, but the Holy Ghost can. But then Jesus has certain abilities that the Holy Ghost does not have. It might shock you, but it's true. Jesus can wash away sin. The Holy Ghost can't. He doesn't have blood. You see, the Holy Ghost is here, but you can't see him. But he's here, and he's talking. He's been talking to people since we came here. But Jesus can appear here and hold this your hand. I can even lift you up. Because he has flesh and bones. He's not a ghost. He's the only person in the Trinity that is both man and God. You see, the Holy Ghost cannot die on the cross. If you leave him alone, we all perish. Meanwhile, he means well. Let's assume he even appears. You capture him. And you take him to the cross. How will you even take him there? As you are carrying him, he's disappearing because it's like air. But let's assume he even agrees. He follows you. He gets to the cross. You put nail. Where are you putting the nail? There's no physical hand. There's no blood. You put the nail. It's like putting it through air. If you want to understand what I'm talking about, I'm talking like the ghost, the real you that's inside you. The reason you are giving this body is to give substance to that other person. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? So God networked all this to form a trinity, unity that has diversity, and that's why they are having dominion. And then Genesis said, let them, not let him, not let her. If they will have dominion, it has to be in plurality. It is a person that is in that will rule. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Functionality. God is a God of systems. God is a God of plan and objectivity. He has even planned the marriage supper of the Lamb before Jesus died. He plans the future. It's an amazing the person we are serving. So we in Africa, we can't sit down to plan. We don't set goals. We don't have calendars. You're not functioning like God. Now, the church needs to start teaching. You teach the foundation of values. You teach principles to help people build the building. And they, at the third level, they now learn one or two life skills. They will rule in their spheres. The foundation is cultivating the heart, the values, the attitudes, the character of people. The building is cultivating the head, developing wisdom, knowledge, educating people. The roof is equipping them with things they can do. That's what Pastor Andrew tried to do to get us to take responsibility to go and share the bread of life values for Nigeria. That's the dominion side level. At the dominion stage, you get engaged. You become deployed. You start doing ministry. You create a business. You create an NGO. You create a system and an organization or something that will enable you to start doing something and get your hands dirty and influence society. Once you engage and start doing, it doesn't matter how small your bread is.
is going to multiply in your hand because God is going to bless it. And after a while, you will find out that that thing that started small is feeding thousands and millions. Multiplication does not happen until you start dividing and start sharing. A person that sits down, no initiative. A person that sits down will not do something, that will not take responsibility, will not see multiplication. And it is when you start serving, when you start giving, when you start doing something to impact people, that dominion comes. Dominion comes at the stage of deployment, not at the stage of development. Can I say it again? Oh, you know, like you are trying to use me as an example. Okay, God captured my heart. I was 12 years. I started being disciple. I started growing. But until I started doing something, there was no way we would get here. I started with students, secondary school students, because I was a teenager myself. Then when I moved to the university, I shifted to university students. And I came out of the university. I went after young people everywhere. Time passed. The multiplication occurred. Do you know, before I left that university, one of the young men I pastored while in school went to the United States, became a pharmacist, became wealthy. He bought a Mercedes car, sent it down, and I got my first car while I was still a student without having to try anything to get a car. I just raised people. Do you know one day, Pastor Frank flew in from Canada. I was in the U.S. He flew in into the U.S. And I finished preaching. He took me on shopping. He said to me, I loaded $100,000 into a card, and he would get into a shop. He said, buy anything you want. I was shopping for my wife until I became ashamed of the amount of things I bought. Because, I there was another guy with us. If I look at something, the guy was busy watching my face, and he looks like I like it. Then they would tell me, let's get it. I say, no, I don't really. He will go and get it. What did I do? I wasn't going around to do anything. I just got the guy born again in school and started growing him, and he is gone. But today, he owns one of the most powerful pharmacists in his city, in Canada. And I didn't worry about dominion. Dominion is a consequence. That's why the Bible did not say they shall take dominion. You go and try to oppress people. It said they shall have dominion. It's the result that comes when you follow kingdom principles. So create a business now. This is deployment. Build a business of trust that any customer that comes get what you promised. When you advertise, you go back and work to deliver. You give quality service, give it on time, train your staff to take care of your customers well, and even sometimes go the extra mile. It's just a matter of time that business will rise to have dominion. People will be telling their friends, they will leave their house, carry their money to come and give you. Because you are using kingdom principles and kingdom values to run your business. Create a church built on the same principle. You will not worry about growth. You don't need to manipulate people to be successful. There is success in integrity. There is success in righteousness. Embassy of God. Can't you see? White people. I say I went to myself. It's not, look at, white. Is the man not a black? Is he not a Nigerian? He went there at the age of 19. He didn't just work on himself. He deployed. If you sit down in the kingdom being idle, you will not have dominion. You must build a platform, a system, an organization, an institution that will enable you. Start it. It might be a cell. It might be an NGO. Even if you feed the poor, giving them food will not change them. Their life will change when you give them values. All those activities you do is not the main thing. They are just the jara, the packaging. The main thing is use it to start transforming the lives of people.
Is somebody hearing what I'm saying?
You can use a business to disciple 10,000 souls. Every month or once in a quarter, you hold seminar for all your customers. You bring a speaker. You find life problems that affect all of them. Bring people who can speak to those things. When they finish, they say, that this banco is not just a normal bank. They look after our money, but now, they are now looking after our lives. Last time they called us, it's on family. The other time, it's on helping us build our wealth. This time, it's on our health. This time, a successful business is not the business that makes money only. It's the business that makes people while making money. There must be another bottom line if you're a kingdom person. Then you will gain loyalty, customer loyalty, that will last a lifetime. It's only a foolish governor, a foolish leader. You have 4 years, 8 years to change the life of your own people, for your own state, for your own constituency. You waste it. It's ignorance at its highest peak. But this is your own opportunity to write your name in history like Chief Obafemi Awolowo, like Saduana of Sokoto, like Dr. Nnamdi Azikiwe, like all these men. When I think about Chief Awolowo, nobody talks about how much money he has. But talk against him in the street and people will lynch you. Your own opportunity, you waste it because of lack of sense. When I think about Jesus Christ, who talks about how many cars he drove? How many houses? How many estates? But is he not the one that is King of Kings, owner of the whole earth now? I close with this. Mark chapter 12, verse 29. I'm sure you know the story. Somebody came to Jesus. One of the scribes came and, having heard them reasoning together, perceived that he had answered them well. He asked him, which is the first commandment of all? What is the most important value in the Bible? What's the most important? The issue now is the importance of value and the power of it. What is the most important value in the kingdom of God? Jesus answers, and look at what he said. Jesus answered him, the first of the commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The next verse. And the second is like it. Namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is no, remember who is talking? Who is talking? Jesus. There is no other commandment, what? Greater than this. If you are looking for where to start, to become a person of value, this is it. Become a person of love. And you have to break it into two subsections. First, love for God, your heavenly Father. You will not be able to do well in loving people until you have a revelation and a working relationship with your Father. Love for your Father. Then number two is love for your neighbor, your fellow human beings that are made in the image of God. If you love God, you will love his image. Anybody that kills a human being destroyed the image of God. He said, let us make them in our image. Verse 32. And the scribes said unto him,
"Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is no other but him." Verse 33. "To love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all the whole burnt offering and sacrifices." And that's where Nigerian preachers are concentrating. So people now assume that they give God a certain amount of money, they can go enter heaven from the back door, when they are violating values. Giving is one of the functionality of the kingdom. It's actually part of the kingdom values. There's generosity. But God said, a man of love, that the value of love far, far, far outweighs all the money in the world you can give God. I'm trying to seal it with the importance of value. I want you to see where God places love and where he places money. I want to pick another value. This one is not love. It's obedience and meekness. The value called meekness is being teachable. Is being malleable. It means you are easy to correct. You are easy to lead. Your leaders won't have headache. If you're a wife, your husband won't have problem. You are easy to lead. Because you are teachable, you are correctable. People like that are not meek are not teachable. They don't take correction. They resist authority. Jesus said, "Learn of me, I am meek and lowly in the heart. You will have rest for your soul." Now, those two values are discussed here. It's 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. I want to see where how God compares it in connection with money. Look at what he said. Start from 22. Samuel said to Saul, "Had the Lord as great delight in burnt offering or sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" Because this guy just finished disobeying God. And when they asked him why he did it, he said, "I brought those things so I can sacrifice. So I would donate to building fund." Has God as much delight in all this money you're donating to him as in obeying his voice? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. To hearken, to have a teachable spirit, is more important than the fat of rams. You think that is tough? Let's talk about tithe compared to values. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Because you can finish paying tithe and go to hell. The reason I'm telling you that, not so you stop paying tithe, but so that you can balance your life and not be deceived. Righteousness counts more to God than anything you think you are giving him. God does not take bribe. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, but you have omitted the weightier matters of the law." Everyone say the heavy matters. Say the weightier matters. What are the heavier matters? Remember, we have listed love, we have listed obedience or submission, we have listed meekness. He's about to list some other values here. He said, the weightier matters you listed are justice, Old King James translated as judgment. Number two, mercy. We've seen it today, compassion. Number three, faith. Faith here is not "I believe God," it is faithfulness, loyalty. You don't betray people. You are paying tithe, but you have omitted the most important thing. You see, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So he's telling you, don't leave your title. We'll catch you again on that one. But these are the most important. You should have done this first without leaving your title unpaid. What's the use of, after giving church money, you still go to hell? What did that achieve? Micah 6, verse 6. This is how I'm rounding up. So I'm letting you see where God places values. Now look at this question. What shall I come before the Lord? With what? When you want to please God, you want to come and do something for God. God, with what will you come before me? He said, I'm bound myself before the high God. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? With calves a year old? Look at the next verse. Will God be pleased with thousands of rams like Solomon offered? 10,000 rivers of oil. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions? So you see what the issue is. When I'm breaking and violating the values of the kingdom, even the giving will not please God. It will replace. You can't use sacrifice to cover up for disobedience. You can't go and kill somebody after committing murder and ritual. You come and donate money to church and think that's what will save you. Politicians, after stealing, looting the treasury of the nation and rendering many families hopeless, salaries unpaid, you think by donating a few money to a church, that's what will give you an access into heaven. Men of God have lied to you, my friend. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? The fruit of my body for the sins of my soul. You see? Verse 8, he lists three values again. He said, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Number one, to do justly, justice. God values justice more than 10,000 burnt offering or 10,000 rams. Number two, to love mercy. Number three, to walk humbly before your God. God loves humility, justice and mercy far above any billions you can drop on the altar. Proverbs 21 verse 3. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than what? Sacrifices. It's clear enough. But the truth is, it's everywhere in the Bible. Just that we are not looking. We are not seeing. Because we are looking for where the transfer of wealth is. Wealth transfer. We are looking for how to capture husband. We are looking for how to make it. We're not looking for the true treasures, which is the kingdom. Seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All those other ones will come. God bless you.
Have you been impacted by this message? Please share your experience with Pastor David Ogbwele. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 0803-435-7959, 0803-590-9900.